the next talk by Andreas Schneider, Unit Testing and Mocking with, is this CMocker or CMocker?
CMocker, yeah.
CMocker, okay. Yeah, have much fun.
Thank you very much. Hello everybody, welcome to my talk about CMocker, which is a unit testing framework, and we will today talk. I will give you an overview of CMocker, and then we will go into details about mocking. But first, something about me. I'm a principal software engineer working for Red Hat. I'm the Samba team at Red Hat. And in my spare time, I also work on other software like CMocker, LibSSH, CRAP, which is another testing tool set, which is also used by Samba. And I also work on Lineage.js, so Android stuff, for fun. So what is this talk about? I will give you the answers to the following questions. What is CMocker? What features does CMocker provide? What is mocking? And how to write a mocking test? And if we have time, we will dive into the Samba source code and we'll show you how to write a Samba test, but that depends on time. So what is CMocker? CMocker is an elegant unit testing framework for C. It offers support for mock objects, and it only requires the standard C library. CMocker works on a range of computing platforms, including embedded, and works with different compilers. So you can use it to write tests which work on Linux, Windows, Mac OS X, whatever, if the test itself is not specific to one platform, but using mocking you can make it platform independent. But we will see later. At CMocker we have a mission statement, and the mission statement is: the goal of this project is to provide a powerful testing framework for C on different platforms and operating system, which only requires the standard C library. So we want something powerful, but we limit how powerful we can get because the requirement is only the C library. You can achieve a lot, but you also have some limitations. If you wonder where you can find it, we have a website, which is cmocker.org. A lot of stuff is also explained there. But I will go into details about CMocker now. So let's look at the most important features of CMocker. I guess most of you, at least who are developers, know what a testing framework is and how the basics work. But let's look at CMocker. What is special about this one? In CMocker, we have test fixtures and also groups. So test fixtures is, for example, a setup function which can allocate a memory which is passed down to the test. Then a test is running, and then you run, and then a teardown function is called, which is freeing the memory. You can also do much more complex stuff to set up a server, to start a server, run your test, and shut down the server again. We support grouping by default, and to run the test, you always define a group, and a group means just that a group can be. Can have a setup and a teardown function again. So you do not need to run them for each test, setup and teardown, but just at the beginning, you run a setup function, run all the tests, and then teardown again. Which makes it easier to implement some stuff, but you can also combine that. Then CMocker has exception handling, which means we are able to recover the test state if there is a seg fault in a test. This means the test executable does not crash. It will just say, hey, here there was a seg fault, and then it will continue to run the rest of the tests. If you attach a debugger to the test you wrote, then and the seg fault occurs, it will stop there and you are able to debug it. But the test program does not crash, which is nice if you are running this in a CI or something like that. You see, okay, it's just that test is crashing, but the other tests which came afterwards were passing. So for exception handling, CMocker does not use fork, a lot of other unit testing framework use Fork, but we do not use that. And the main reason is that Fork is not available on all platforms, especially on embedded platforms, it's not implemented. And then also Fork is differently implemented on different operating systems. For example, if you read the man page from for Mac OS X, then you will, as I said, then you will maybe get a grasp why Samba is not really working on Mac OS X. yes, and because we are not using Fork, it works on so many platforms. We added, so CMarker has its own console output to tell you the state, which test it is running, if it was successful and stuff like that. It has its own format, but we also support other output formats. One is Test Anything protocol, which is widely known and used. Then we added support for Subunit. Subunit is the protocol used by Samba testing, and we are the Samba test tool is able to parse the results of that and display it nicely. So CMocker integrates with Samba, and also we are able to produce XUnit XML output or write a file down. And XUnit XML is, for example, used by Jenkins, and Jenkins can parse it and nicely display it in their web interface. The CMocker API is completely documented, and that's has its own URL, api.cmocker.org. If you go there, you will find a basic overview and all the details for all the functions which are available. So let's, for the beginning, let's look at how a CMocker test looks like. First, you need some include files. And these are standard include files. You need three of them and then the CMocker header. Why they are not into a CMocker header is often on some embedded platforms, these headers are not there or functions are in different ones. So it's easier for embedded systems to integrate with CMocker or to add these headers, and there will not be any problem to detecting the right headers or finding the right functions for that. So when you included the right headers, you need a function which is your test. So this is a really simple test which actually does nothing, but you need to define a function which gets passed a pointer, which is a state. And this state is can be filled, for example, by a setup function to allocate some memory, pass some state down into the test, and the test can use this to run. And at the moment, it does nothing. We will look later how we can use that. And then, yeah, your test executable needs a main function. And there, in this main function, you define a structure where you tell it which tests you want to execute. And then you run the test group. So this here can be several tests in there, and everything is a group. Then we run the tests, and we don't have a setup and teardown function, so we pass in null here. So that's a test which does nothing, but this is how it works, but we will go into details. What you will mostly use when you are doing unit testing, then you use assert functions to check the result, the return codes of functions, or whatever is passed in there. Okay. Yeah, you will use asset functions to check, for example, if pointers are valid or invalid, or compare results. And CMocker provides already by default a lot of functions, for example, for comparing strings, for comparing memory, pointers, and also sets. And you also can check, for example, integer ranges, and we have functions to check return codes and print error numbers if they set it. Probably the most important functions for checking are already there and are provided by CMocker. So if you want to assert, here is a simple example. We have an integer failure here. We just call the function, the state is not used. And then we just call the assert in equal. And if it's I think that thing is not screwed. Yes, and if the assert function actually fails, then the test is failing.
4 equals 5, is that what you're saying?
That would fail. Yeah. Ah, yeah, the comment is. Yeah, that's right. However, you can easily extend CMocker asset functions and write special asset functions for your project. The socket wrapper, which we are using in Zemba, is tested using CMocker, and we extended asset functions to, for example, compare sock adders or ports and stuff like that. So it's easy to extend it, and you can actually use the other functions already provided to and write functions for more complex structures. Maybe you know that there is a assert function from the standard C library where you can assert in your code, and CMocker provides a way actually to test if the assert is triggered. And what you need to do is you need to redefine the assert and use the mock assert, which is provided by CMocker. And then you can check if your function actually is calling assert. So that's a way to test your test code where you want to assert.
Can you just call mock assert?
Yeah, but normally your code will not call mock assert.
Yeah, okay.
So assert is what you have in your code, but you need to redefine it in your code. Normally you would have a guard which maybe says if def unit testing, then redefine it. And then the test is able to... Okay, let's look into mocking in unit test. What is mocking? Mocking is a way to create an instrumented object that simulates the behavior of a real object. So if you look at the word, to mock means to imitate something. So it allows to isolate behavior of complex algorithm. This is especially useful if some functions are impractical to incorporate into your unit test. For example, if there is randomness or if there are interfaces not available in your test environment. So let's test uptime. Probably most of you know that little command uptime, which prints something out, how long is your machine already running. So the standard unit test normally, you create a test suite, which is an execute table, which tests your uptime functionality. So you have a library which implements that. That test uptime, so your test calls a function which calculates the uptime. And this function actually calls another function which reads the value of for the uptime from proc uptime, right? But what is the problem here? Proc uptime constantly ticks. So whenever we call the test, we get a random value back. And it would be really hard to test because we do not know when we execute the test what proc uptime will return. So it's more or less impractical to test that because of the randomness we have on this side or of the ticking of proc uptime. To actually being able to test that, we can use mocking. And this is how it works. In our test suite, we implement a test for the functionality. And we implement another function, a mock function. And this mock is a mock of the function to read proc uptime. What we are doing here, we implement this in a way that our test is able to tell this function what to do. For example, what to return. And now when we link the test suite against the library, we tell the linker, do not link this function, but link to our mock. So if our test calls these functions, before we call this function, we told our mock what to do and how to react if this function calls it. So this part we replace with our implementation. To be actually change this route here, from here to here, we use some magic. And that's GNU Linker magic. So the GNU Linker offers a way to use a wrapper function for a symbol. And you can specify that on a command line with a wrap option, and then you provide a symbol which it should wrap. That's supported by the standard linker, the gold linker, and also the LLVM linker. I don't think that Windows or Microsoft offers such a solution, but most people I know use MingW to implement the tests and are able to achieve the same on Windows. So, what we have. So, as I said, we have a function to read the uptime that looks like this. So the function returns an integer and gets two output arguments where uptime seconds and idle seconds are stored. And then we implement a mock function with the prototype looks the same, but the name is different. It needs to start with two underscores, wrap underscore. That's very important. You always need this prefix for that. Then when we are linking and specify the option wrap, then the original uptime symbol of the library will be renamed to real uptime, which means it is still accessible and we can call that function. The uptime symbol is then rebound to the wrap uptime symbol. So when the code calls uptime, it will not call the original function, but the function we implemented. And because real uptime is still available, it would be possible in this function to still call the function by calling the real uptime function name or using that symbol. What is really important, and you always keep in mind when you are using that's symbol binding order. When the linker searches for a function and binds the symbols, it does it in the following order. First, it looks if the function is in the executable itself, the one, so in its own code. If not, then it will check, are there preloaded libraries? And then it will check each preloaded library if the function is available there. And if not, then it will go to the libraries which are linked to our executable and will processing them in the linking order. And when it finds it, it will bind it. So that this wrap actually works, our test needs to link against something in order to rebind the symbol. If you want to really understand this, or if you want to look into the details of that, how this is really done, then if you were on the example, you can use the environment variable ld debug equals symbols, and that then the linker will output all the details, how it is looking up the symbols, which library it is searching, and telling you how it is binding each symbol. More details about LD debug and what other stuff is available, you can find in the man page here, manld.so, if you want to look into details. But you always need to keep in mind the linking order if you wonder why it doesn't work. So with these mocks, if you implement mock functions, you want to do certain checks that everything works correctly and want to return the values, fixed values, instead of relying on random values. So if you implement a mock function, something like this here,
no.
Do you want to switch the cable? I just fetched an HDMI to HDMI. I don't know
if it is here or somewhere else. But this one looks solid now. Yeah.
The other track has the same issue, so maybe there, I don't know.
Yeah, that cable looks not good here. Okay, so CMocker offers something which is called parameter checking. So if you write a mock function and a test, the test can tell the mock function, okay, we want to expect a string. So if wrap mock is called and an argument name is provided, then we want to make sure that the argument is a string called worst. So if this function is entered, it checks the name, and what it checks is this, it's comparing, does a string comparison against the string. So first we tell what we are expecting, and then we call a function foo, and this function will call our mock, and when it does, we can do parameter checking. That's documented in the API. There are more, check expected is always the same, but these expect functions, there are more available, like strings, pointer, integer checking, and whatever. So the most interesting stuff for mocking is the mock function, which means every time I call this in my mock, it will return whatever the test has told it it should. So in our test, I say my mock function for the first call of mock should return the value 0. And then here I say, I want the mock type and I want it to be casted to int and return that because it's an integer return. And then again, For example, if I call foo and foo will call the mock function, this will return zero. And then I can check the return code. Is it zero? Yes, it is, else it will give me an error. An additional feature we provide is call ordering. If you have several, if your function calls several mocks, then you can check that these mocks are called in the right order. That's sometimes important, but not always. But yeah, you can read the details at the API. To make this that you can understand this maybe a little bit better, we will look at the details. So let's actually look at the code. So this is the uptime binary, and if we look at the code of this, we have the function, which is pretty simple. It gets a pass and two out values to store the uptime in seconds and the idle time in seconds. And then we just open that pass, which is proc uptime. We read it and use scanf to read the two values as float numbers. And then they are stored into the out variables, and then we return. If we look at the actual implementation of it, we just have a main, and that calls the function calculate me the uptime string, the uptime for that. If we look at that function, it's pretty simple. It reads proc uptime and returns us the seconds and idle time. So we call this function, and the rest is just concatenating the strings to give you a really nice human readable string of that. So it will look at weeks, years, weeks, days, hours, and minutes to return that string, right? But whenever I call it, the minutes change, it's ticking. So I cannot rely on what proc uptime returns. And the next thing is, maybe I want to test it, run this test also on Windows, which doesn't provide proc uptime. But with a mock, I can do it. So let's look at the implementation. And I've implemented a test for that. And that, well, just works. And if we look at the test of this, the most important is our mock implementation. And that is here. This has the same prototype. It's called wrap. We define two variables for the uptime seconds and for the idle seconds. First, we verify the pass which is passed in, that this one is correct. So we check the parameter here. We do not do that for those two because they are out parameters. Now we request the uptime value from the test and the idle value. And then if they are passed in and are not null, we will return them. And that's it. If we look at the first test, we can see that first we tell the mock, if we get the uptime pass, please check that it is proc uptime, that it is correct. And then we tell it for the two out variables, uptime seconds and idle seconds, the values we want to return. So these are fixed. And when we now call it like we did in our, in the main function before, then we get a fixed return value and can now check that the pointer is not null and that the string is equal. And these numbers respond to up 8 minutes. And then we can pass in different values and check that the string corresponds to the values which are passed in, that they correctly are interpreted correctly. And you couldn't do that for days and minutes, hours and minutes. So I wrote tests for all of this. And then, well, you can also check that if you pass in or return invalid values, that, yeah, the error handling is correct. So this test can now make sure that the function which is under test here is behaving correctly, even and not calling or reading proc uptime, but faking it complete, not faking it, but using a mock which we instrument to tell it how it should work or how the algorithm should behave when we are doing that. And well, the rest is just executing and running it. So this makes it possible to write a lot of, or with this you are able to test a lot of stuff which before was you were not able to really test because of the randomness, or if you, for example, want to test something on embedded systems but want to run the tests but you don't want to run them on an embedded system because it would be slow, then you can fake, for example, a temperature sensor could be faked, and you could say if the whatever the temperature reading the temperature sensor could be faked, and you can tell it what values it should return and make sure that your code evaluating these things or calculating things are working correctly. Okay, how to write CMOCA test in Zemba. If you have never done this before, it's pretty simple and straightforward. There is an easy example. I found a bug in a tldap unescape function which does LDAP version 3 and LDAP version 2 as unescaping. And a best practice is normally when writing a CMOCA test that you directly include the C file. The reason for that is that C file might have static functions. And if you include the C file, you are able to also test the static functions. That's why normally you directly include the C file. For mock tests, normally you don't do that because then we would have problems with the symbol rebinding, because that only works if you link it. And if you would include the file, it would be in your tests executable, and then you would be not able to rebind the symbol and call the mock function. Yeah, but that's one best practice for standard unit tests. Always include the C file and make sure you also test your static functions which are defined in there. Special in Zemba is that you need to change the message output to subunit, that our test infrastructure is able to parse it. This can also be set via environment variables. You can always change that, whatever your output you want, but by default, we want to change the default here and set it to subunit. Once you have done this and compiled it, you can always run the test manually, especially while you are writing it, and you can attach a GDB to it. And if you want to incorporate it into the self-test environment, then it just looks like that. you find examples in here. You plan a test suite and then give it a name. We do not need any environment for that because it's a unit test. And then you just give it the pass to run it, and that's it. Then make, if you call make test, then it will be executed. Currently, the biggest user of CMarker is LDB. Jakub Roszek started to implement LMDB support in LDB some time ago, and then he said, well, I need to test the API if that works correctly, and then he said, well, there are no unit tests for that. I need to be sure that this is working with a different backend, so he started to write it using CMarker. And in the meantime, I think it's really huge, several thousand lines of code. And I think the people who worked on CMarker also say that it's a really useful tool, especially for API testing. Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank you very much. Time for questions. There's a hand.
Well, I have a couple of questions, but I'll ask only one. I found some compilation bug in CMarker and just wanted to file a bug and looked around the website and couldn't find actually any backtracking. And
it should be. Really? I saw that.
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't thorough enough, but it's not obvious. So I couldn't find where the source... I found the API page and everything, but I couldn't find where the source stored and, being on CryptoMilk. Yeah. But where's the bug tracking system?
Yeah, there is a bug tracking system which doesn't work at the moment.
Okay, that
I turned it off because I need to look into GDPR.
Oh, yeah.
But you can just send it to the mailing list.
Okay, thank you.
More questions? I have a question. you mentioned you only use standard C function library. More than glibc or muscle C, for example, or...
It should work with every C library which is out there. So it works with Microsoft, it works on Microsoft, so you can compile it with Visual Studio and use it. Hmm. And also these Musl libc should also work out of the box.
Okay. But you haven't tested it explicitly? Hmm? You haven't tested this explicitly somewhere? Because I know a lot of tools which use standard C and then it only works with GFC.
Well, I haven't tested it, but there is Samba has another testing project which is called CWrap, and there is NSS Wrapper.
Okay.
And NSS Wrapper got patches from someone to work correctly with Musl libc, okay. And NSS Wrapper is tested via CMarker.
Okay.
So it just worked.
Okay, thank you. So, finished early? Yeah, then once again, thank you very
Andrew?
Much. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
So when working with CMarker, I found we ended up just creating, like, the LDB tests ended up being a very, very, very long test because of the chain setup and things. Are we able to... put like the test setup functions into... I tried to split it up, test setup functions into common code and things. It all just got very hairy. Was I just not patient enough with it, or does it really only work as one file? Are there any technical restrictions around?
Several. Normally, it's good to have several executables you could run, and maybe have several test executables with all the code which test one similar functionality.
Yeah.
And then split it up and maybe then have a C file and header shared if there are common functions you implement for testing.
Yeah, okay. Because LDB mod op test has kind of become a monster.
Yeah.
And every time I add one, it's easier to add to the bottom than to fix it.
I would try to split it up into several files, and then it's also, you do not have too much code in one file.
Yeah, okay.
What is currently missing, and I still plan to implement, is that you can filter tests, that you can just run a bunch of tests or only one test.
Mm. That would be very useful. Particularly during development.
Okay, last sentence just answered my question.
Okay. Good job.